All right, so we got a ton of requests to do a deep dive on trade unions.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot topic right now.
I think we've got some notes and some background on what they are and
So the objectives and how they work and
exactly, yeah. So we're going to try to give you a clear understanding of what they are, what they aim to do, and why they're such an important part of the working world.
I think that's the key is just understanding how fundamental they are to how so many industries work.
Yeah, so let's just start with the very basics. What is a trade union in the simplest terms?
Well, think about it as like a team, you know?
Like a sports team.
Well, yeah, kind of, you know, instead of each worker going to their boss and individually asking for, you know, better pay or safer conditions or whatever.
Right. They get together.
They join together, they have one voice, and that's how they speak to their employer.
So it's about strength in numbers.
Yeah, and that collective strength is what protects their rights and interests, you know, things like wages, working hours, job security, even like the day-to-day conditions of how they work.
And there's not just one type of union, right?
Right, you've got different types. So you've got craft unions, which are for people with very specific skills, like electricians or plumbers.
Oh, those are the traditional ones you hear about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Then you've got industrial unions, which bring together everybody working in a particular industry, like the auto industry, everyone who works for Ford or something.
Got it.
Then there are general unions that cover a mix of jobs across different industries, and then white collar unions for professional and administrative staff.
So no matter what the focus is or what type of union we're talking about, what are the main things they try to achieve?
Ultimately, it's about improving the working lives of their members.
Yeah, so that means negotiating for better pay.
Absolutely, that's a big one, but it's also pushing for safer workplaces, more reasonable working hours, protection against being unfairly fired or discriminated against.
Oh, so they advocate for workers' rights too.
Yeah, totally. And they also often help secure benefits like paid time off, healthcare pensions, you know, all that good stuff.
And they make sure everyone's being paid fairly too, right?
Yeah, advocating for fair wages based on people's skills, making sure there are clear procedures for dealing with disputes and grievances.
Okay, so now we got to tackle some of the terms you always hear around unions. Let's start with collective bargaining. What is that in a nutshell?
That's like the main event.
Okay.
It's the process where union representatives sit down with the employer and they hammer out the terms of employment. So that covers everything we talked about: wages, hours, benefits, even workplace rules.
It's like a big negotiation.
Exactly. And that's where the collective power comes in, you know, because they're negotiating on behalf of all the workers together.
Okay, that makes sense. And then there's this term monopsony power that I always hear. What is that all about?
So imagine like a small town with only one big factory. Everybody works there.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Now that employer, they have a lot of power to set wages low because workers don't have any other options.
So they have all the leverage.
Exactly. That's monopsony power. One buyer, the employer in this case, is dominating the whole labor market and they can dictate the terms.
That's where unions come in.
Exactly. Unions step in to balance that power. You know, by banding together, workers gain some power of their own, so it's not just the employer calling all the shots.
Okay, so it's about evening the playing field a little bit.
Absolutely. It's about making sure workers have a fair chance to get a decent wage and decent working conditions.
Got it. So then what happens if those negotiations break down? You hear about industrial action. What is that all about?
So that's when unions use different tactics to put pressure on the employer and try to get them back to the negotiating table.
Like a strike.
Yeah, strike is the most well-known one where workers refuse to work, but there are other methods too.
Well, like what?
Well, there's work to rule, where workers stick to every single rule and regulation in their job description, which can really slow things down. You also have a go slow, where workers intentionally slow down the pace of work. And of course, there's picketing, where workers protest outside the workplace to raise awareness and garner public support.
So when unions are asking for higher wages, what are some of the arguments they typically use?
They'll point to things like increased productivity. If workers are helping the company make more money, they argue they deserve a bigger share.
Makes sense.
They'll look at the company's profits. If the company's doing well, workers should benefit too.
Right.
They'll also compare wages for similar jobs in other companies. And crucially, they'll talk about the cost of living. You know, wages need to keep pace with rising expenses so people can afford to live.
Yeah, you can't just stay stagnant as the world changes.
Exactly.
It does seem like some unions are stronger than others. What factors affect that?
Well, the health of the economy is a big one. Unions tend to have more power when the economy is strong, and there are plenty of jobs.
When people aren't as scared to lose their jobs?
Exactly the number of members a union has is also crucial. More members usually means more negotiating power.
Right. Strength in numbers again.
Exactly. The skills of the workers matter too. If they have specialized skills that are hard to replace, the union has more leverage.
Makes sense.
And even the demand for the product or service the company provides is a factor. If there's constant demand, the employer is less likely to risk a disruption.
Yeah, so if your product is essential, you're less likely to want to mess things up.
Exactly. And of course, government laws and regulations can either help or hinder unions.
Okay, so let's say a union and an employer agree on something. How do unions make sure the employer actually follows through?
They've got a few ways to ensure compliance. Some unions used to have what's called a closed shop, meaning you had to be a union member to get hired at all.
Oh, wow.
Those are less common now, but sometimes high qualification standards for a profession can have a similar effect.
Oh, interesting.
But the biggest tool is often the threat of industrial action. You know, knowing that workers could strike or take other disruptive actions if the agreement isn't honored, that gives the union some teeth.
Makes them take it seriously.
Yeah.
So what about the relationship between trade unions and the government? That always seems a little tricky.
It's definitely a balancing act. Governments can pass laws that support unions, like setting minimum wage standards or ensuring workplace safety.
That's the pro-union side.
Exactly. But they can also pass laws that limit union power, like restricting the right to strike or making it easier for companies to hire non-union workers.
Right, trying to keep things balanced, I guess.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that unions themselves are often trying to influence government policy to support their goals.
Yeah, they lobby and things like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a complex relationship for sure.
So it sounds like at the core, trade unions are a way for workers to have a voice in the workplace and advocate for their rights and interests.
Yeah, they give workers power that they wouldn't have individually.
They come in different forms, but share some core goals around pay conditions, job security, things like that. And they use a combination of negotiation and sometimes more forceful methods to achieve those goals.
Exactly.
All within a framework that's shaped by the economy and government regulations.
It's always evolving.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're listening, think about the future of work. Think about how these ideas of collective action and negotiation and power dynamics between employers and employees, how are those going to play out as the world of work keeps changing? You know, even if it doesn't look like traditional union membership, the core principles are still relevant.
I think it's something we all need to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us.
My pleasure.